The scripture for today is from Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 46. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, "What do you think about the Messiah? Whose son is he?" "The son of David," they replied. He said to them, "How is it then that David, speaking by the Spirit, calls him Lord? For he says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.' If then David calls him Lord, how can he be his son?" No one could say a word in reply, and from that day on, no one dared ask him any more questions. Please join me in prayer. Everlasting God, whose tenacious love holds us, make our hearts the house of your truth, and make our minds the realm of your wisdom, so that our fellowship will become your dwelling place, and we may respond to your gracious promises with faithfulness, service, and love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So Rebecca told me that this is a sort of a time where you can get to know me a little bit better. So here it goes. My mom has had to pick me up from a police station twice in a one-year time span. I was 5 years old at the time. The first time, I wanted ice cream, and the Dairy Queen was close by, across Route 20. And for some reason, the employees there thought it was odd that a little girl was crossing four lanes of rush hour traffic by herself. So they called the police, who picked me up and called my mom. The next time, I wanted to take a new route home from the bus stop. Home was less than a block away. It was a route I took every day. But on this particular day, I wanted to take the long way so that I could see the elephant ear plants. I got frustrated because I couldn't find the elephant ears, and a man saw me crying. Assuming I was lost, he invited me in for tomato soup and called the police, who picked me up and called my mom. I am convinced that the only reason I am still alive today is because the police had my mom on their radar. So you can see, I have always been stubborn. I have always been independent. I always like things my way. And those things make it so that I'm not exactly the easiest person to love. There are many more stories to illustrate this, and I'm sure my mom would be happy to tell them to you. Yet, my mom still loves me. We communicate through the week through texts and have lengthy phone calls every Sunday night. Now that I live closer, we both make time when it's safe to see one another. She has fed and clothed me, always made sure I had a safe, clean place to live. She's taken initiative in my education and has let me be creative and weird. Her love for me is evident by her patience and generosity, and the fact that I'm still alive to tell you about it. A mother's love and care for her child isn't particularly radical. But God's love for us and Jesus' command to love each other is radical. Our scripture today arrives at the end of a long series of orchestrated attempts to entrap Jesus. Sadducees and Pharisees tried to catch Jesus making a mistake against scripture. But of course, Jesus never fails. Here, a Pharisee lawyer asks, maybe in an attempt to trick Jesus, but maybe in all sincerity, which is the greatest commandment in the law? The answer seems pretty obvious to us, but for listeners at the time, there were 613 laws. And through rabbinical commentary, each one became more detailed and complex, making it difficult for the ordinary people to follow the law. There was some debate amongst scribes and rabbis about which one were more important, but the Pharisees asserted that all of the laws must be precisely followed. Jesus' answer works to simplify the law, although these aren't exactly easy commands to follow. First and foremost, Jesus quotes Deuteronomy. Love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Secondly, in a nod to Leviticus 19, Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. With this answer, Jesus is challenging the assumption that ceremonial law is equal to the laws about how we behave towards one another. Okay, but how do we love God? It can be hard enough to love the people we are close to. How do we find this emotional love for a remote and mysterious God? We can't look into God's eyes, wrap our arms around the Spirit, or see the face of Jesus. Well, see, the biblical meaning of love is a bit different from our everyday notion. Love is not passive. Love is not just an emotion. Biblical love is a verb. It's an active response to the radical and indiscriminate love of God. So, we love God by accepting God. We love God with our worship and prayers. We love God with our minds by studying the Word, letting it enlighten us, correct us, and send us out into loving action into the world. To love God is to love in the way God loves, radically and indiscriminately. To love God is to love what God loves, everything and everyone. This leads us to Jesus' second command, to love your neighbor as yourself. Loving your neighbor. Maybe this command is a little easier. I mean, we can at least see other people. I don't know about you, but I can't claim that I even like every person I meet. I definitely can't say I feel emotional love for everyone. But again, biblical love is about action, not emotions. We are called to treat strangers the way we treat those we love emotionally. And the only way to do this is to make a continuous, conscious choice to act with generous, patient, merciful, loving kindness to everyone, even our enemies. While the scribes and Pharisees used the law to place limits on those whom they were obliged to recognize as their neighbors, Jesus joins the texts of Deuteronomy and Leviticus in order to just smash all the limits and boundaries of who is considered our neighbor. Jesus is asserting that love, radical love, is a test of one's true understanding of the law. This means that we cannot love God and participate in oppression or exclusion. Nor can we tolerate poverty or abuse or an inequality of anyone, anywhere. After answering this question, Jesus turns the tables by asking a pretty tricky question of the Pharisees. Jesus pits the Pharisees between their literal understanding of the scripture and their cultural understanding of a father and son relationship. Whose son is the Messiah? The Pharisees opt for the safety of tradition. King David, of course. Jesus challenges their answer with the scripture of Psalm 110. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand. But how can the Messiah be David's son if David calls him Lord? This is something that turns culture and tradition on its head. A king would never defer to his son. Yet, King David calls him Lord, marking the Messiah as his superior. The Pharisees are stumped and need to rethink the traditional understanding of who and what the Messiah is. Jesus's messianic identity surpasses all of these traditional expectations, even as he himself fulfills the law and the prophets. All right, so what does this Messiah thing have to do with the commandments at the beginning of the passage? Well, the Pharisees cannot answer the question about David calling his son Lord because they don't understand the Messiah is not about traditional family hierarchies or power structures or even cultural expectations. Lordship to Jesus is not about holding power over another, but about love. The Messiah is about the greatest commandment, love. This passage connects the law, commandments, with the prophets, the Messiah, through love. Friends, Jesus' criticism is not limited to Palestinian Jewish leaders of the first century. We are just as likely to use our faith in the service of power, prestige, and exclusion. Jesus' words can be just as relevant and painful to Christians today. We are called to love, not just our family members, not just those who look like us, not just those who act like us, but we are called to radically love everyone, especially those people in our society who are often overlooked or dismissed or undervalued. Love is expensive, folks. It takes time, trust, attention, and energy. Sometimes it can be easy to emotionally love someone, and then our actions just follow suit with that. Yes, it's picking up your stubborn, independent 5-year-old from the police station twice in 1 year. It is also cuddling up next to your children or grandchildren to read a book before bedtime, or preparing a family meal, or just checking in on a friend. But the emotion of love is not what is commanded of us. It's the radical actions of love, even when we don't feel like it. God has charged us with that. It's getting to know your neighbors. It's serving and advocating for those on the margins in our society. Radical love is valuing and respecting those who look, act, speak, or believe differently from us. God doesn't ask the easy things of us. But by radically loving us, God has shown us how we can radically love others. We are called to love God and God's people in the same radical way that God loves us. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.